The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. I'm excited tonight. There's a huge event involving a Valley sports team tonight. It is so huge. And you're thinking, well, it's got to be the Suns and the Celtics. And I'm going to say to you, no, it's not the Suns. The Suns get their heads kicked in. I'm sorry to say this. It is Suns and Celtics in town tonight. The biggest story in sports today in Arizona is tonight on ESPN2, Phoenix Rising FC. Yes, the little minor league soccer team that could, that is leading the way to MLS coming to Phoenix, in my humble opinion. Tonight is the championship game of the USL. They're playing in the championship game tonight. If we were to think of the numbers of championships that have rolled through Phoenix through the years, the number would be pretty small, right? I mean, you have the Diamondbacks winning the World Series in 2001. The Cardinals made it to the Super Bowl, but they didn't win it. The Mercury have won titles. The Rattlers have won titles. And no offense to those of you that love the Rattlers or the Mercury, much like Rising, okay, you would say minor league sport. I don't mean that derogatorily. The amount of interest in soccer in Arizona is growing. It is huge. We're the fifth largest market in the country, guys. So the MLS is looking at the buzz that has been created around soccer. And tonight, they will be watching as Rising FC plays at Louisville City tonight. I thought about going, kicked the idea around, and instead, I knew that Jordan Simone was going to be in studio. So I said, well, I'm not going to go to Louisville. I need to be with Jordan Simone. I knew that Jimmy Vaccaro was going to join us from Vegas because a lot I want to get to with Jimmy on all the numbers, news, and notes from the South Point Casino and Resorts. We'll have Jimmy Vaccaro with us today. And then Bill Goodykoontz, Goody at the Movies, or if he's doing politics again this week, from AZ Central, chief film critic for Gannett. The Down to the Wire race, he's been covering Kristen Simina and Martha McSally. And I went and saw the other night, because I'm a good dad, I went and saw Grinch the other night so I could give Bill a movie review. Right? So we've got a good show ahead of us. Let's get you caught up. Some of the things on my mind brought to you by Sagicor now. Protect what matters most. In this case, I'm talking about life insurance. Guys, if you were not to come home tonight, this is not to scare you, it's just a fact. If you were not to come home tonight, is everything in place for your family to move on? Is everything in order? It's a very simple question to ask. And it doesn't matter if you're 22 or 82 or 92. It's never too early to start and to look at your personal situation. Again, protect what matters most. Do it with life insurance annuities. There's all sorts of planning that they can help you out on it at sagicornow.com. Sagicor Now, we appreciate Sagicor and their support. The debonair Jordan Simone will join us coming up in about 9 minutes. All right, so Eric, tonight is the Rising Championship game. I was talking about championships that we've had roll through Arizona. So I came up with the Diamondbacks. You've been here all your life. I'm kind of that guy that's come in from out of town. I've been here 26 years now. 25 years. 25 years on December 10th. Am I missing something here? The Suns have never won a title, right?
No, you got it right.
So it's just the Diamondbacks. We're talking about major sports.
The NBA champion, the NBA finals have been in Phoenix,
right?
But not a title, unfortunately.
Not a title. You have been to Rising. You've been to some of the matches.
I have. Really fun.
Does tonight do anything for you?
Is it on TV?
It is. ESPN2.
I'll watch. I'll have it on.
They have watched.
I mean, I'll be casually watching because that's what I do when I watch soccer. I just casually watch.
So they have a viewing party tonight at the stadium. If you wanted to go to the stadium, they're going to put it up on the boards. I myself am not going to go to that. They're having a viewing party at Thirsty Lion tonight.
Oh, nice.
I might go to that. There's some viewing watch parties I've heard around the Valley. I know Valley Luna, one of our partners, has been showing Rising. So I'm looking at this like if they win tonight, the fact that MLS was here, Major League Soccer was here, the commissioner of MLS wasn't here. But that MLS was here a couple of weeks back to see them draw 10,000 fans. And yes, it was dollar beer night. I get it. But that's what Rising has done. Rising has had dollar beer nights throughout. I don't believe that's the only reason why people show up. And if you go to the games, the crowd is very mixed. It's not just soccer kids. it's community leaders, community people having a great time. So I'm very excited for that. It's at 6 o'clock tonight. The NFL side of things. So we're excited about Patrick Mahomes and watching him grow and develop. We saw Patrick Mahomes take apart ASU a couple of years ago when he was here. Very good player. Went on to the National Football League. Yeah, this week's been the whole angle of how the Cardinals whiffed. They should have drafted Patrick Mahomes rather than Josh Rosen. Pretty easy to say in hindsight, but I know that's what people like to do. The Cardinals are a 17.5 point underdog. 17.5. I cannot remember the last time, like almost 3 touchdown underdog, that a team, we'll talk to Jimmy Vaccaro about this from Vegas here in a bit, the team would be that big of an underdog for a game. And I'm not expecting a good result. I'm not. That's the beauty of the game. I'm excited to watch Josh Rosen and Christian Kirk and some of these young guys continue to develop. They're going to get their heads kicked in. That's just the space that we're in Arizona right now. Dez Bryant signs with the Saints. It's a pretty smart signing. We talked about that with Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network earlier this week. For your fantasy teams, if you're into that sort of thing, to add Dez Bryant. We'll talk college football with Jordan Simone here in about 6 minutes on ASU. I'm interested in Jordan's view as they take on UCLA Saturday. I am going to the game. Is he in the mindset of, yeah, U of A, they're off this week, but U of A should beat Washington State, in my view. I'm all about the Territorial Cup meaning something more than two teams that are fighting to go to El Paso. I am. I want it to be a game of relevance beyond, well, it's the arch rival, it is a Territorial Cup. I got all that. But really, on a national stage, is it a rivalry when every year, outside of 2014, the two teams aren't ranked? I think Arizona State beats UCLA. I think they beat them handily. And I think ASU next week gets ranked as they get ready to go to Oregon. So there's a lot around ASU that I like, and on many fronts. I'll talk to Jordan about that here momentarily. In terms of the Suns, let me go back on a little bit about the Suns. DeAndre Ayton spoke out yesterday. DeAndre Ayton said for the first time that he is tired of the Suns' excuses. Now, here's the problem. The Suns have been making excuses since May 27th of 2010. That was the last day that they had a playoff game. Yes, that's true. May 27th, 2010, the last day the Suns hosted or even played in a playoff game. 8 years ago. Like Jordan Simone is going to be on with us momentarily, was 13. He probably didn't have any hair on his face. I don't know. He doesn't now. So it's been a long time, guys. Like, so DeAndre Ayton's already frustrated 2 weeks into it. Here's the thing. This is how it goes in Phoenix. I would like it to be different, but am I wrong? Am I wrong? The Suns tonight, the over-under is 211, Eric. 211 tonight.
I don't know why DeAndre Ayton is so surprised by the fact that the Suns are losing. I mean, he was the overall number one pick. And usually when you are the overall number one pick, the team you're going to is really bad. And the Suns have just followed the trend of what they did last year.
But don't you think that a guy like Devin Booker is eventually going to go off and say, I want out of here?
I would hope so. I mean, I love Book. I hope he stays. But it's just the same thing. And we sat here on the show, 3 weeks ago after that Mavericks game to open the season and thought, maybe they'll be at least watchable. And they're not watchable. At all.
They're not watchable.
They're just not watchable.
That's the thing. It's 7 of their 8 losses have been by double digits, Eric. 7 of 8. They're never in games.
Yeah, you get embarrassed by the Brooklyn Nets by 20-some-odd points.
Brooklyn Nets!
I mean, that's just garbage.
And it's, you know, Jared Dudley, it's great seeing Jared Dudley, but Jared Dudley can't move. And Jared Dudley would tell you, I can't move. And he still got, I think he got some points. So, you know, Boston rolls in tonight with Kyrie and Jason Tatum and a very good Jaylen Brown, a very good roster. Danny Ainge has done a terrific job there. It bothers me that, again, it's another former Sun in Danny Ainge, that the organization had him as a coach. He didn't want to be a coach anymore, got in the broadcast thing, left the broadcast world, went to Boston. The Suns have never been in a position to bring him back. It's like Steve Kerr doing his thing at Golden State. He was here and he's not. Danny Ainge is here tonight. It's another one that got away. Jordan Simone is next. All things around ASU from the sideline reporter, aspiring, budding superstar to be broadcaster, we hope. I think he's going to do well. That is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. There's Jordan Simone.
Hey, how's it going?
There's Jordan Simone.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, he's the host.
Yeah. Welcome to Brad Sussmat's Football AZ. I'm Jordan Simone, and looking forward to diving in about ASU football here. We got a... I guess I'm bringing it in. Nothing wrong with that.
The Devin's fine. No, there you go.
There we go.
No, start out on the happy face.
There's both of us.
Go back to him because he looks better than me. I mean, look at that. Look at this. Look at this. Tell me this alone. Is not a future, like, go back to the two
Can
of us.
Can we talk football, man?
Now go back to the two of us. Now go to the single on me. Go single on me.
That's a money shot.
I mean,
right
look
there.
Look at this.
That's the money
now
shot.
Now go back to the single on Jordan. I mean, come on. This is like I should just walk out of here now. So.
Oh, man. Let's talk some ASU football.
How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm happy to be here.
You're fired up.
I'm always fired up.
Here's the thing. You showed up here a couple weeks ago, and I wasn't here.
I know. I did.
And now that you know the directions to the place,
yep.
You're just wandering in.
I just walk in off the street.
Walking off. This is not off the street.
Yeah, came in a suit and had it in the back of my car. And
yeah. It's your... You're off the market, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is she watching?
I texted her, so she's probably watching.
She's probably watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you whipped?
Yeah, 100%.
Got it.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah.
Are you whipped on ASU football this year?
I am, absolutely. I love ASU football.
I know you do.
I mean, I've been whipped on ASU football. But
if you and I are sitting here and they have one win... Are you going to be that guy that's like, oh, everything's great? No, everything's not great.
I mean, I'm a realist. Right. I understand that you have to win. And, you know, our fans especially will be around if you're winning. And when you're losing, you know, it's always hard. For me as a former player, I will love this school if they go 0-12. I will love the school if they go 12-0, the same.
But if you sit in front of a microphone, objectivity is helpful.
Yep.
So please be objective and tell me what you like about this team right now.
I really like how the freshmen are playing. I think that you look at Merlin Robertson, Darian Butler, Ashari Crosswell, you know, two of those guys had interceptions last week, and I love the way that they're playing. Antonio Pierce specifically has those linebackers playing at a very high level, you know, for just having stepped on campus only a couple months ago. So I'm very encouraged by that. And then also looking at, you know, the offense and how Rob Likens has been able to spread the ball out and get Manny comfortable early and really utilize N'Keal Harry and Eno Benjamin and these weapons that we have.
Mm-hmm. What concerns you most?
You know, the concern has always been the defense. It's been the young guys on defense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like we just talked about, they're playing at such a high level that that worry has kind of gone out the door for me. The only thing that can happen is when you're young like that is you can start, you know, feeling this confidence and you stop preparing as much. But Antonio Pierce, a former NFL linebacker, won a Super Bowl. He knows that. He knows that route, and he knows that those young kids are, you know, he's keeping them on track. So I feel confident that the coaching is keeping them on the straight and narrow as far as their focus.
Isn't it true that during the course of a season, there's going to be that quarter or sometimes even that game where everything's flat?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet. You might have because you've been, I think the Colorado game is the only one you missed.
Yeah, the Colorado I had to miss. Yeah.
But every game, they have not had a flat about them. Washington was just better, in my view.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And N'Keal showed some frustration in that game, and which I think he's been able to manage better.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you look at, you know, the last 2 weeks, they have not been flat at all. They've come out of halftime. You know, USC got up a little bit, then they took the lead right back. And so that was something that concerned me was when they came out of halftime in the third quarter, they had been flat against UW, against Stanford. They hadn't put up points really. And I disagree with you. I think that we were the better team against Washington. I think that if you look at the play calling, how it's changed from Washington week to this last week against Utah, look at what they're doing with N'Keal. They're putting him in the slot, and that's how you beat a good defense. You line him up in the backfield, and that corner that usually is guarding him can't guard him now. He's on a different receiver, and then you motion him out. It just confuses the defense, and when you take a guy like that and you're able to position him around, put him in the slot, it just helps you get the ball to him way more. So I think that I got to give credit to Rob Likens again, just because of what they've been able to do with N'Keal and with these other receivers. You know, we saw Brandon Ayuk have a 100-yard game, and that's, you know, that's a lot of credit to Manny as well, being able to see when they're hovering over to N'Keal a little bit. You know, he threw a great hole shot on a cover two where, you know, they were kind of a little bit more focused on N'Keal, and he, you know, throws a dime to Brandon Ayuk.
I feel like N'Keal, by the way, should walk out on Saturday with the seniors.
I agree.
Let's just call it as it is. This is it. This is his final game.
I agree. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be offended by that.
No. I think everyone that's an Arizona State fan or even a Pac-12 fan respects that and knows that, okay, this kid is, you know, I think last year he could have left and been successful in the NFL. A couple of things that I think have changed are his route running ability, and you know, he's so good at catching the ball in space, and people underestimate his speed. He can get away from guys, and that's something that we saw last week, you know, in a couple long touchdowns. And you know, I'm just thankful that I was able to be here for N'Keal, you know, to be able to watch his last season and be able to watch. I wish he could run out of the tunnel and people would give him a standing ovation because he deserves it.
Yeah, you're going to walk up to him with a Sharpie and...
Yeah, probably. I'll just get his autograph. Absolutely.
Jordan Simone with us in studio. So I bring up being flat because it is UCLA.
Yeah.
There's a lot in front of this team still to go. UCLA, Oregon, U of A. Arizona State controls their own destiny. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm looking at UCLA saying, okay, very young team.
Yep.
This could be a game that there is that uneven moment.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's something that you always worry about with a young team like Arizona State. But like we talked about earlier, coaching. I think that Herm has done a great job keeping these guys focused. And we look at UCLA, and their record makes them seem worse than they are. They're a talented team. They're a team from LA, you know, the California area, and they get a lot of good athletes too. So they're kind of in the same rebuild as us. Mm-hmm. I think we've just been able to get over the hump quicker. They have a really young defensive line front, and that's something that our offensive line is going to have to take advantage of on Saturday as far as running the football and other things of that nature.
Really, UCLA and ASU went about it the same way. Let's put some freshmen on the field, and there's going to be some mistakes made. But for Arizona State, I think it's paid off in spades. Give me a little bit more of a deep dive on the freshmen on defense and why you like what they're doing individually with each one of them.
Yeah, well, you look at Merlin Robertson. He, you know, had a great game last week. I think he had 9 tackles, an interception. He was defensive Pac-12 player of the week, and he's probably a guy that will win, you know, freshman defensive player of the year in the Pac-12. So he's just been able to be so successful in the ground game, stopping the run, and that's something that we've, you know, had struggles with. ASU's defense, it's no surprise, has struggled on defense in the past couple years, especially in giving up plays of 20 or more yards. I believe we were.
It's because Jordan Simone graduated, but
no, that's definitely not it. But you know, I'm very happy with what these coaches have been able to do. I think you know, and Darian Butler and Merlin Robinson, going back to those freshmen, have grown up so quick in college. It's so hard to do as an 18-year-old or 17-year-old they might be, to come in and be productive and not make mistakes. And with experience comes some of those mistakes, but with experience also becomes, you know, that to get over that hump and be a dynamic player in the Pac-12. So they've had a lot of experience, and the sky's the limit for those two. And, you know, Tyler Johnson's another young kid on that defense that has, you know, excelled and just got better every week. And we really saw him against USC step up. And then, you know, Ashari Crosswell, you know, he's dropped a couple of picks in the past, you know, games this year. And, you know, he's learning. You know, he got beat on his interception this last week. But he stuck with the play. He played through the whistle, gets a tip, and, you know, tips and overthrows, got to get those. So that's a little saying
that's
there. Good. You can keep
that's
that one.
Good. That's coach speak
yeah,
right there.
Yeah. So
coach 101.
Yeah, that's all you want for your freshmen is to grow. This is a year of growth for them. And now all of a sudden you're looking and we got a chance. We got a chance at the Pac-12, but you still got to take it one game at a time.
So if you're going to the game on Saturday, what are two things that you're looking at just specifically about beating UCLA Saturday that fans should put in the back pocket?
Run the ball. Run the football, no question. This is what Herm's wanted to do. You know, he said that about a couple games through the season. He's like, you know what? We're not waiting. We're going to run the football. This is who we are. We're not going to wait for it. And it's paid off because you look at how it's opened up the pass game to Nikhil and, you know, these other guys. And our offensive line has done such a good job. And you just have to run the football, especially if I'm an offensive lineman for ASU. I'm walking up to that football and I'm seeing freshman D linemen and I'm saying, okay, these guys don't know what to do. And especially, you know, you look at the offensive side of the ball for them. They have a young quarterback that might play, Dorian Thompson Robinson and Wilson Spate, who they've never seen the 3-3-5 that we run. And so that is also very confusing. That's also what's helped these young freshmen adapt.
It's good to see you do so well. Do you like doing the sideline stuff?
I love it. Yeah, I love it.
But here's the thing that Jordan didn't say. So because I like where he is and he wants to get better, Jordan and I are going to do a game tomorrow night on the site.
Yes, we are.
We are going to do Higley against Castile because they didn't have a play-by-play guy on the high school side. And I said, well, I'll do it. I know Castile.
Yeah.
So we'll have some fun tomorrow night. That's over on the website side. And Jordan and I are going to screw around, but have a good time at a very good football game. Looking forward to working with your partner.
Yes, we are. It's going to be fun.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's Jordan Simone with us. Up next, Jimmy Vaccaro will go to Vegas, and we'll dive in deeper on the upcoming weekend in sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Hey, so I mentioned earlier the Suns, who are pathetic, meeting Boston tonight. Over-under on that is 211. The Suns are plus 9.5. 7 of the 8 losses have been by double digits for our hometown heroes here in Vegas. It is a good night in the NBA. Golden State's 10-1 against Milwaukee. And Houston has been a big disappointment. 4.5-point dog to Oklahoma City. A lot of college football, a lot going on in the NFL. Jimmy Vaccaro joins us from the South Point Casino Resort. It's always good to check in with Jimmy. I guess I should get the Cardinals being 17.5-point dogs at Kansas City out of the way, Jimmy. I mean, we got just a dreadful team here. Come on.
Well, it's obvious that you do. They win the prize this week. 17.5 is around the city. So there's nothing really positive to say about the Arizona Cardinals. They're going against a team which a lot of people, even before the even season started, that the Chiefs would be one of the teams there in the Final Four mix to go to the Super Bowl. So I can't disagree there, my friend. But quickly, the NBA season taking off like a firecracker. The NHL is here. Everything is moving along quite a bit. And I got some good college games this week and a lot of interest in the Sunday NFL game. So, yes, very, very busy here, my friend.
Fans want to go up from Phoenix and Arizona. It's a short flight, short drive. And when you go to Vegas, make sure you stay at the South Point Casino Resort and check in and see Jimmy and the gang, Brent Musburger and company. They're doing their show there. All right, tonight we have a very good NFL game, I think, for Thursday Night Football. Carolina-Pittsburgh, what's the view in Vegas, Jimmy?
I'm putting this right at the top as one of the better games for the Thursday night schedule so far. Pittsburgh Steelers opened a 4.5-point favorite, total 50.5, a little action on the over there. But not surprisingly, the wise guys are taking the Carolina Panthers. That game is down to 3.5. But also remember, my friend, as we talk quite a bit, when we get close to game time, the parlays will be all on the Pittsburgh Steelers, the teasers on the Steelers. But right now, the so-called wise guys think that the Carolina Panthers are worth a bet, especially at plus 4.5.
Is there a game this weekend that you're looking at in the NFL saying, keep an eye on this one? Here's where some people are really checking it out.
Well, there's a lot. I would say that the Patriots are now on a roll and they're just steamrolling, and so obviously they're going to be a big play against the Tennessee Titans, who had a good game last week against the Cowboys. That is going to be a good one. The Chargers and the Saints are the newfound heroes of the NFL, and surprisingly, not surprisingly so, they're all playing well. Here you have the Chargers at the Raiders. If we'd made this game before the season started, you would have had maybe the Raiders a 1-point favorite. Now, L.A. Chargers open 9.5 up to 10 and haven't seen a ticket yet on the Raiders.
South Point Resort Casino, Jimmy Vaccaro with us as we go through the college side now. We've got Arizona State, who's making a late push with Herm Edwards, getting it done down here. If they win out, they go to the Pac-12 South title game. They've got UCLA, young team. I know that not the most attractive game on the board in the Pac-12 with Washington State playing so well. What's the view in Vegas, Jimmy, on ASU, UCLA?
UCLA, obviously, they're having a lot of problems. And then Herm Edwards, I give him credit, didn't think he got off to such a great start. But I can tell you this, the early money's been on Arizona State. Open game 11.5, up to 12.5. Would not be surprised if the game goes to 13. A little misunderstanding there. Why would they play this game at 11 o'clock? But we'll see what happens after that.
Number one, Alabama. Everybody is just in their way. They steamroll them. They've got Mississippi State. Some people are trying to make this into a game. Is it a game, Jimmy?
No, it's not a game. But this Alabama team is obviously it's just something we haven't seen in quite a while. We're up to 26 with the Alabama game. They've been unbelievable, especially in the first half. You know, in every first half they played so far this year, they won and they've covered. And horrendous prices. In other words, the game could be 23 or 24. The first half could be 14. But they're just playing these favorites early. And Alabama is the team to beat when you come to the first half, my friend.
One last game, and that is, and just in general, when Notre Dame is relevant, it's got to be good for business. Number three in the nation against a Florida State team that has really fallen on hard times. View in Vegas, Notre Dame, Florida State.
There's no view anymore. I mean, I didn't think this team would fall this far south, and it did, and I didn't think Notre Dame would be where it is right now also. From a bookmaker standpoint, we want to see Notre Dame in the Final Four. It would be a great push to a great ending of a great season.
Thanks, Jimmy, as always. Talk soon. Thanks.
Okay, buddy.
There's Jimmy Vaccaro there in Vegas, South Point Casino Resort. Head on up and make it happen. We'll have Goody at the Movies here in a few minutes. I'm going to go back here on Jordan and I could have gone longer in the segment. We're talking off the air. Washington State. So I want U of A to beat Washington State next week. I want the Territorial Cup to really mean something. I know I get on this tangent every year and some of you get tired of it. But look, only once in the last 15 years have these two teams met when they were both ranked. U of A will not be ranked in the game, even if they beat Washington State. U of A has a bye this week. But the magnitude of the game, for U of A to be in a position to knock off ASU, if ASU beats UCLA, which I believe they will, I don't know too many people that think they're going to go to Oregon and win, but I do. I don't think that Oregon is all that this year. I don't. Now, winning at Autzen Stadium, I haven't seen a game time. Eric, have you seen a game time? I have not seen a game time for the Oregon game.
I have not seen it.
Yeah.
They're probably saving that six-day window
If it's a night game at Autzen, tough, because everybody's going to be all liquored up, and just that place will be crazy. Have you done a game at Autzen before?
Nope. Never been.
I've been there once.
It'd be a cool place to see a game. And I'm sure ASU will keep the game close and probably lose because that's what ASU does.
Wow, that's not nice.
Teams that are better than them.
Are you hating?
No.
You think Oregon's better?
Yes.
By a lot?
In Autzen, I do.
Oregon,
we've seen what Oregon does on the road, especially in Tucson the past few years.
Yeah.
Like they can lay eggs.
Yeah, they've
pun intended. The Ducks can lay eggs.
Ah,
nice. They don't lose a lot of home games.
See, I feel like a night game's got to be a point or two advantage for a team. But
more than that, I would think. And if it's raining and cold, Brad,
no,
that probably doesn't fare well for ASU.
But ASU does not get blown out of games. Yes.
No.
I mean, so far, I think of everything that's happened this year with Herm. Remember when he said we're going to commit to the run? I think you were even like, this is boring or this. I shouldn't put words in your mouth, but you were not thrilled about the whole run the football deal.
No, but I understand. I understand why now when you take a step back and look at the big picture and see them starting a bunch of freshmen on defense, and all those freshmen, for the most part, have played really well.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. I mean, when you're putting the blueprint together of, okay, how can we keep it close at Husky Stadium? How can we get to the fourth quarter and still have a game at Autzen Stadium? I understand. Because the last thing you want to do is get into a shootout with some of these really high-end
schools. And they haven't done that yet.
Not yet.
They have not been. I think that of everything that's happened, you would think a first-year coach taking over a roster that he did not have much control of, that's got a lot of seniors on it, that there would be a game or two where it's like, wow, they crapped the bed here. And that hasn't happened.
Outside of San Diego State, that was a pretty ugly loss.
The end of that game, yes.
Yeah, but, I mean, that was just an ugly game. But, yeah, for the most part, I've been pretty impressed.
Goody at the Movies is next. Stay with us. Of sports, it's time for Goody at the Movies and politics. Politics and movies. Movies and politics. I saw a movie this week. Bill did not, I'm guessing, because Tuesday was kind of important. I saw The Grinch, so I will review that here momentarily. And then, Bill, are you going to get back on the movie beat, or are you going to stick to politics all the time now?
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm definitely going to do a lot of media stuff. I hope I'm going to do some more movies because I like it.
You're good at it. Yeah. You're really good at it. Have you recovered from election stuff yet? And if so, what is your biggest takeaway?
I thought that I had, and then stuff happened yesterday. So there was no break. The biggest takeaway, I mean, again, I did media stuff. And the biggest takeaway on the media front, I think, was everybody was afraid of what happened in 2016. And nobody wanted to miss so badly again.
Yeah.
So we had all this information, and we had all these results. And we had all these computer models and all these people with these big boards and everything, and they would not say a thing. they did not want to predict anything. They didn't want to, you know, like they didn't want to go on the limb in any way. And I can understand that. But it just made for kind of a weird evening, I thought.
Because the whole idea of we are predicting such and such state is going to go to, and I really look at CNN when I say that, and NBC I saw was the most viewed on it. That was what their calling cards were in 2016, being the first to predict that this is going to happen, and then to be so flat wrong. Did you see anybody that did step out on a limb, that stepped in it, for lack of a better term, that messed up on Tuesday night?
Not in a bad way. I mean, I guess Fox News could have been wrong because they were the first ones to say, you know, the Democrats are going to take the House.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty early on, and not surprising because it's Fox News.
Right, right.
But that said, it was, it was really sort of, they could have been really wrong. and I don't think their viewers would have been too happy about it. I'm sure they weren't too happy about it anyway.
But here's the thing on that, Bill. Fox News, it seems to me, even if they're wrong, the viewers aren't going to say, well, they're wrong, I'm not watching anymore. I mean, that's just a fact that people that want to hear a certain political lean are going to say they're right. When I saw that NBC one and I saw comments on social from people saying fake news, fake news, fake news, fake news, you know, it's just tiresome after a while that people are just so jaded and so in their minds of my guy didn't get positive coverage. No, your guy lost. Deal with it. Deal with it. You know, it's just it happened. That's what we're about. But
I think the media is just a really attractive target right now. And who else? I mean, you know, that's an old tactic, is blaming the messenger, right?
Right, 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 right. So moving forward from this, is there anything that you look at? The McSally Cinema race has not been called yet, and unless it's happened in the last hour, how is this going to play out, and what do you think the impact will be from that? Why has this not been called yet, Bill? It's Thursday.
Because there are still like 300,000 uncounted ballots in Maricopa County.
Why can't we get this done sooner? You know, am I missing something here? Why is there always something around our balloting?
Well, we have a lot of early voting, and I missed stuff until Election Day. So that takes a while. And a lot of Arizona has, 70% of the people vote early, and it takes a long time. I like going to the poll on Election Day, and I know that I'm running the risk of a big, giant, long line, but I didn't have much of a line at mine, so I was happy. But I think what's going to happen is, I mean, one of them's going to win, one of them's going to lose. It depends on how close it is. Maybe there'll be some kind of runoff. I'm actually not sure what our state requires. I think that, the Republicans are suing so that they won't count some of the ballots. So that'll be weird. It'll be interesting. It's kind of a mess, but it's also kind of interesting. And it doesn't, you know, there was a time when it looked like Arizona might be one of the states that helped decide whether the Republicans retain control of the Senate.
Right.
But they're going now. So this is, this is maybe nationally, this is not as crucial as it once was.
Before I get you out of here, so I saw The Grinch and Benedict Cumberbatch. It was, It was so pleasing on the eyes. It was shot in the Illumination deal. There's been a big buzz about Illumination and the way that they've made this movie so pretty. It was packed. A lot of kids. Security was trying to keep the kids quiet. Like, good luck with that. It's the Grinch. Come on. Are you serious? But I felt like it was very entertaining and short. You know, I got in and out of there, and I took my son. It was like I don't know. The movie started at 7. We were out by 8:25. So there were laugh out loud moments too.
I love Benedict Cumberbatch, but I have a funny story about him actually. But I've got to say, why do it? There's already an animated one, and it's perfect.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. It wasn't like so. The soundtrack on this, and I hope you do go see it, the soundtrack on this was urban hip-hop for The Grinch for a couple of songs. It was so cool, and the laugh-out-loud moments were coming from the adults, not as much the kids, other than the obvious stuff. So, it was made with some adult humor without it being over-the-top adult humor, if you know what I mean. It was an easy PG for me. So go check it out. That's all I can say on that.
It gets the stamp of approval. Okay, go check it out. It's good. What better thing can you say about a movie, right?
Yeah, go check it out. All right, man, I'll let you go off that. Appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
All right.
It was good to eat the movies, or politics, depending on the week. Today has been it's hard to do this show personally when there is so much going on in the world that is negative. And there's another shooting last night. And so when I sit here and I do sports or entertainment or news, or we get together and we just kind of rap about things, you know, I thought about leading off with what happened last night, and you guys are numb. I'm numb. I don't know how many days. I think this is the 13th mass shooting in the last 2 years in our country. So, yeah, I mean, if I seemed a little off today, apologies, but I'm just kind of like, as a dad with four kids, and that's a part of town. Eric was bringing it up to me during the break. That's a part of town out where Eric was this summer doing the Saguaro piece. It's by Cal Lutheran. It's just tough. So that's my downer moment for today, and we'll get through it somehow, as we do each and every day. Devin Henry is our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen is always the great producer of everything or nothing, depending on how we feel on the day. Have yourself a great Thursday.